well about our sweet little Faith, that she has had, they can't tell if it's seizures or what, but she's having a little bit of problems, and so they're going to be doing tests, and so we want to pray for her. Faith. Shauna's daughter. Shauna's daughter, Faith, who is 13. And she had, she lost her sight for a half hour. Her tongue went numb, her arm went numb, and she's having heart problems, like heart. So we need to really pray that the doctors can get to the bottom of that and calm mommy's heart too. And then my mom is not doing well, and they have mentioned the hospice word. So if you guys will help pray for that for our family while we're going through all of that stuff, we'd really appreciate it. Do you want to pray?
Father, we just thank you that we can come before your throne of grace this morning and find mercy and help in this time of need. And for these needs, Lord, we bring them before you. Lord, we ask right now that you would just continue to touch Dan, Lord, that you would bring healing, Lord, to all areas of his body. Lord, whatever areas even that are not mentioned, Lord, that are sick, we pray that the hand of God and the power of God and the healing touch from God would just come right now and bring, Lord, your total reversal, yes, of these damages that are taking place to these organs. And Lord, we just thank you that you will give your peace that passes all understanding, Lord, to both him and Vicky, Lord, that they can rest in you, Lord. And we just pray, yes, for God, just a peace over that entire home right now. Fill, yes, that, Lord, place,
yes, Lord,
with the peace of God, Lord. And Father, we pray right now for Faith, Lord, and we know, God, that she is one that loves you and mm-hmm. wants to know you more. And so, Lord, we pray that heart, Lord, of drawing close to you, Lord, would allow her, Lord, to draw herself right into your very glory, Lord, where there would be full restoration and healing, Lord, mm-hmm. from whatever's,
yes,
going on.
Lord.
Pray that you give the doctors wisdom.
Yes, Lord.
Give peace also to the entire family. Lord, we just thank you that you do all things well in our lives, Lord, and we thank you for what you're going to do in Faith's life now.
Yes, Lord.
We pray right now for Mom, Lord, as she is in this state of just continuing, Lord, to have difficulties. We pray, Lord, that you would allow, Lord, your peace to guard her heart. And Lord, just allow her, Lord, to just continue to trust in you.
Yes, God.
Lord, as these circumstances and situations look insurmountable, Lord, let her trust be so fixed on you,
yes,
so
God,
set in you, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that there is a peace that just overtakes her soul, Lord,
yes,
and
Lord,
that it calms her spirit and that she's able, God, to move forward, Lord, and to help make decisions, God. That you would just allow, Lord, your perfect will to be done in Mom's life.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, that this is a day that you have made. Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to come here and worship you. And Lord, I pray that it would be worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, that we would be able to enter into, Lord, your presence and receive, Lord, what you have for us today. We just ask all of this now in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to shout it. You are good, and I'll shout because you are good. You are good to me.
Oh, precious I sing, Lord, all that you've done for me.
I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more. hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul.
runs out on me.
Come on, sing it.
Your love never fails, you never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on it goes. And it overwhelms and satisfies my soul.
in Christ Jesus. And if the enemy can make us look back at all the terrible, awful, horrendous things we've done and get our eyes set backwards, then our eyes going forward, we can't see the grace of God. So today, finally, understand how much He loves you. Understand how much He loves you, that He would give His own life for you. And in that love, in that assurance, just worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because the enemy comes to condemn, but Jesus comes to save.
And Gina texted today and said they weren't able to make it, but they wanted to say greetings to everyone. So I said, okay, I will greet everyone. So everyone, greetings from Moses and Gina and their family. What's that?
Did they send salutations?
Salutations, yeah. Well, that is salutations, isn't it? Greetings and salutations. What is the difference between a greeting and a salutation? Can you look that up?
One starts with a G, the other starts with an
N. There you go. One starts with G, other starts. It's that simple. Leave it to Jerry to just figure that one out.
Jerry is smart.
He is smart. No, he's smart. No, Alec.
His name is Smart Jerry.
Jesse's probably right. We all have our moments, don't we, Jerry? Okay, well, last week we took a break from the, We took a break from the message that we've been, or the series, or the study, different names it goes by, of the book of, first chapter of John. And today we're going to continue that quest. Last week I shared on that we're crucified with Christ, if you weren't here. And this actually is going to tie right in. I didn't plan for it to tie in, but the word is amazing. And it a lot of times it goes beyond our weaknesses. So to speak.
Okay.
So grace for grace is what we're going to talk about today. Grace for grace. Now, I had read this as many times I share this. I can't believe how many times I've read the book of John. How many have read the book of John probably the most of anything in your Bible? Anybody? Yeah, there's probably a few of us. If nothing else, maybe certain chapters. I mean, it's just amazing, the book of John. John did a really good job by the Holy Spirit, I might add. but this particular passage that we're going to go over, the John chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. It was going to be 15 through 18, but I could not cram it all in. And there was no way I was going to miss out on the revelation that I wanted to share with verse 18. So probably verse 18 might stand on its own next week. So we'll see. I'm going to go ahead and have Gay read, because she reads so much better than me.
Sure I do.
You probably need a microphone.
Oh.
Well, not really.
Yes, you do. You're going.
Sorry, I was.
I saw something looking, was missing.
I was looking for something that, and I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna bring some information for you guys. Never mind. Okay, so John 1:1 through.
18, well, you'll be reading 17? Through 17 today. Okay. Yeah.
1 through 17. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ."
Amen. How many, that she reads that really good, doesn't she? Doesn't hardly mess up a word, or I think I messed up a slide, and all I had to do was flip the slide during it. So, you know, I kept going back saying, okay, where can I cut off to be able to, you know, just start today, kind of like fresh? I thought, I'll just start at 14. And as we went through three verses, I started realizing, no, we need to read the whole thing. Well, one of these times we'll break it off. We're not going to read all, I think it was 50-something verses. Yeah, I think it was 50-something verses in the first chapter of John. And I don't think we need all of those every time, but we're still in the introduction kind of this book. We're still in John kind of laying out what he really wants to communicate about Jesus and his earthly ministry and his heavenly ministry. And so we're going to focus today on, let me do this. Go back real quickly for this so that you guys don't think I'm just skipping over this verse. But John bore witness of him. This is John, again, the Baptist, not the Apostle John. Bore witness of him, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me.'" In other words, is highly preferenced before me. Don't look at me, look at him. "For he was before me." And this is talking about not He was before me because he was born first, because we know that John was born before Jesus. But he was before him before he even existed. That's what he is saying there. I don't want to get into all that because it really kind of explains itself there. So we're going to focus on 16 and 17 today. And the rest of our time will be on these two verses. And I dovetailed them together because I've always read 16 on its own, and I've read it in multiple versions and different translations, and I've always had an idea of what it meant. But today, maybe this isn't, like, you know, 100% correct, although I think it leans that way, and that's kind of what I wanted to communicate to you, because, it dovetails with what I shared last week. So, with that said, and of his fullness, we have all received grace for grace. And of his fullness. That's one thing that a lot of times as Christians, we can get it mixed up, that it's of what we can do, of what we're able to add to this party, that, you know, we're going to be able to get grace for grace, right? I mean, it's like, it can't just be of just his fullness. There's got to be something on me, right? But it's of his fullness. It's of his fullness. Now, what does this word fullness mean? Let's take a look at it for a moment. Well, it can mean sum total or fullness, duh. But it can mean even a superabundance. And I believe this is why of his fullness we receive the grace, because God's fullness that was in Christ is a fullness that overflows to you and I. It's not just for Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. Through the Spirit of God, we then receive of that fullness. And it's not a fullness as we know fullness. You know, because the way that we think of full is that you're pouring something, and then once it gets to a certain point, it's full. Well, that's not the way it works with God. It would be like you pouring your full, and you're not just spilling over, but you're also filling up more. It's not like it's just from the top, just all spilling over, and the new fullness isn't going in. No, this is a fullness that just keeps going and going and going. It's like the Bible says, from glory to glory. Mm-hmm. It's a fullness that I believe Jesus was in a fullness, but it wasn't a fullness that there was like a limitation. That's one thing we have to realize, that we don't receive a limited, assignment with a limited, just a limited scope from God. It's an unlimited scope. It's unlimited what we can do in God. Why? Because God's unlimited. And because we're receiving that same fullness that he carried. Okay, I can see puzzled faces. So let's look at a couple of verses that may help us. Colossians 2:9. Now this is talking about Jesus. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So again, this is, I think I threw some of you off one day when I was sharing. Well, it may have been last week. I can't remember what day it was. But I was sharing about Jesus hanging on the cross. And that was not just Jesus, the Son, hanging on the cross. The full Godhead hung on the cross. And this is a verse that substantiates that. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it wasn't just when he went back to heaven, it was here. And I know that's hard for us to imagine. How can all of God dwell on earth and all of God still be holding everything together? It's because God's not limited to space, time, or what would be the third one? He's not limited to our space, time. He's not limited to our physical limitations. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. The physics that govern us do not limit God. And we see Jesus breaking those physics, don't we? See him walking on water, walking through walls, even probably before his resurrection. There was a scene that he was in the temple. They were coming to get him, and he was gone. There was a time that they were pushing him off a cliff, and it says that he walked through them.
Well, I don't know about you. I've seen many scenes where someone's getting pushed off a cliff. They don't walk through the crowd. So it's almost like they were pushing and where'd he go? It's like, you know, he was not limited by our physics. I think, see, you have something.
Right,
no, you just,
good.
You're just catching
right.
the wave. Okay.
I'm riding it.
So in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So let's listen to what God wants us to understand about this fullness that Jesus had. So in Ephesians 3:19, and this is definitely pulling this out of, you know, a full big prayer, but I just wanted us to get the main gist of it. And it's to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. This is Paul praying that we would know the love of Christ. And it talked about the width, the height, the depth, to comprehend that incomprehensible love.
Right.
That you may be filled with all the fullness. That's that same word. So the way that Jesus was filled to the fullness, this is how God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us we're to be filled. Mm-hmm. To all the fullness.
Right.
Again, it's not a fullness that is limited by being full. Has anybody ever had, like, you know, something full and you pour more in it? And if you had a different color, it probably would, most of it would be spilling over,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that happened yesterday with the coffee pot.
There you go, yeah. The coffee pot?
The Keurig, I filled it too full and it...
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah. And it went over.
Everywhere.
But this fullness is an unlimited fullness. Can you guys, is that hard to get? That it's because God's unlimited. His fullness means it's unlimited fullness. What? My cup runs. Yeah, there's a psalm, right? That talks about my cup runneth over.
And we should actually dwell at that point. We should be dwelling there instead of low and just, you know, crawling for the, you know, the throne of grace and saying, God, you know, fill me. Because we only are living on just the little bit that we need instead of the fullness that he gives.
Yeah. Well, right. well said. And this verse validates that. Not this particular verse, but the John 1:16 right. really validates that we have all received. And we'll
I don't think that any of us has ever operated out of the very fullness of God. If we did, or if we had, our minds would be blown. We wouldn't care what you think of us. We would be so hot on Jesus' trail, so after him that no one and no thing could stand in our way. If we all really truly were full with all the fullness of God.
Because at that point we would be out of our mind.
Well, we're dangerous.
We'd be out of our natural mind.
We're dangerous at that point,
yeah.
Because, you know, quarter
dangerous.
On the ceiling,
yeah.
Or whatever. I
oh,
mean,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like raising the dead. I mean, things that people are like, do, you know, but you know what? God says that's where we're to dwell, and we don't. We may think that we get to the tip, but we don't even get there. Honestly, we don't.
Well, again, what we've limited are most, and I'm saying most of the time, and I'll speak of myself. What we limit God to a lot of the times, and I did previously, was that I would receive enough of God to be able to live a successful Christian life. That my expectation was, oh, if I can just get enough of God to keep from sinning, to keep from yelling at the kids, to keep from yelling at, you know, my wife, which that's done pretty well with that, thank you, Lord, right?
He doesn't ever yell at me.
No, I don't think I ever could.
Never,
I mean, it was just
never
like,
did have.
I did the kids, yelled at the kids.
Only because they were bad to me.
It's just...
Right.
Oh, you want to go there, that's... Oh, he had all. He had it all. And Jesus did. Jesus was functioning in that fullness. And so, yeah, as Christians, we should be, you know, and guys, really, we have the mind of Christ. We should be busting all SAT scores. We should be busting all genius scores. Now you're saying, no, that's a limitation based upon my genetics. And where's your genetics from? Are you born from above, or are you going to lean into and submit to your earthly lineage? Because if you're submitting to that, guess what comes with that? All of the sicknesses and diseases and corruption that comes with that.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
We need to set our mind on things above where we are seated with Christ, not just so that we can be spiritual, but so that that spiritual life can transcend this earthly existence. It's a unseen reality that becomes seen because our faith has captured it. Mm-hmm. We've laid hold of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's so good. Yes.
Okay. So, that's right. Okay, we're good. So, I thought I had another verse. Oh, I did have another verse. I skipped it. Sorry. Where am
that's
I
okay.
at here?
Colossians 2:9.
Okay. I flipped this one, but didn't flip that one, and I messed up. Okay. Ephesians 4:13. This is talking about the fivefold ministry that we know: apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And so we know that those are really big in the body of Christ. And we talk about those. But why do we have those? We have those till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, I don't think we need a unity of the faith when we're in heaven, because our faith has become sight, right? So this is talking about an existence here that God desires for his people. The fivefold ministry is to help get us to this point where we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. All of those are sermons in themselves. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here is the gotcha. It's that there is a fullness that we have already received, and we'll see that in a moment. And it is the fullness of Christ, but again, it's the administration, it's the living out, it's the receiving by faith, the appropriating, which appropriating, folks, really means steal. And I think why we use that as Christianity, because it's almost, you think you're stealing, because God's got all this stuff. We're giving him our broken down wreck, body, baggage, old man. He's taking it gladly, and then he's giving us himself. That is an appropriation. That is a stealing. That's a deal.
Love that word.
That's a stealing deal. You know, yeah. You talk about, I've got a steal of a deal. We got a steal of a deal with God, but he's good with it. He says, hey, get the better of me every single day. I don't care, you know.
I love that.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Would that be in there if that was not possible?
No.
Let me ask that. So is it a time that we all come, or is it a state that we all come to?
Are you talking about like a realization?
I think it's a realization. I think the body of Christ, as she, referring to her as the bride of Christ, matures and continues to realize who she truly is, that she is not just, you know, just a sinner saved by grace, because that's true when we were sinners. But now we're the righteousness of God. Does the Bible not say that? In Christ Jesus. That now we can set our sights on not just sinning and keeping from sinning, we can set our sights in being like him because we have his fullness.
This almost explains where we are right now as a church body, I think.
Oh, go ahead.
Do I go there? Dare?
Dare it.
Till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Trying to come to unity is going to weed out those that are afraid of that fullness or uncomfortable, let's say, of that fullness. Do you know what I mean? Like, over the past couple years, it's like we've taken all of the children's Bible stories and we've parted them, and now we're getting into the real meat of who God is, the depth of who he is, the fullness of who he is. And sometimes that makes people very uncomfortable.
That's scary to our flesh.
Well, it is scary
because
to our flesh.
Because there's a result to receiving his fullness. And what is that result? Well, you change.
But the whole
thing.
You
don't change because someone's telling you you change. You change because you're being changed from the inside out. You can't help but change.
Yeah.
Because that fullness, requires change. So the more we receive his fullness, and you have to only receive his fullness by your choice.
Right.
But the more we choose his fullness, the more we'll change. And the things that we used to like, we may not like them anymore.
Well, but it's just like you said, if it says it here, does that mean that we're capable of getting there? Yes, we are capable of being unified in the unity of faith. We are. It is a possibility. We can do it because he says we can.
We can come to the state of a perfect man. Whoa. Go ahead.
She was taking clothes out of the dryer.
and I was, I have some things going on that I don't talk about. But anyway, working on myself, God's working on me. And I was taking some stuff out of the dryer, and the Spirit of God said to me, would you hurry up and get healed and embrace healing? I need you. Hurry up. Get my fullness. Get your healing. I need you. There's a generation coming behind you. And that was it. And I just stood there going, bleep,
hello.
Bleep. I had nothing more to say after that. So.
Wow. But you know what, though? Think about that. I mean, if I didn't have anybody standing behind me pushing, begging, I would just be very complacent. I know I would. I would just be very apathetic. I wouldn't try to better myself in him or even desire his fullness. It's like you said, you know, it used to be that if we could just be a good enough Christian not to sin and make it to the end, we're all good.
Check mark.
But you know what, though? That's what we are so missing out. It's like, to me, it reminds me of when, I want to say that was it Solomon that was on his bed and Eli? Was that, or who was that?
Oh, you're talking about Samuel.
Samuel. I knew it was with an S. Samuel was laying in his bed and he was a protege for, and he could hear the voice of God and he would run over to Eli and say, Master, you called me. And he said, no, I didn't. Go back to bed. And so this happened three times. The third time, finally, he took the master's, earthly master's advice and said, oh Lord, your servant hears. What do you want to say to me? It's like we miss it so much by allowing TV, church or Sunday morning or maybe even a Bible study. We let that just be what we obtain instead of him.
Yeah, none of those really matter unless we've obtained him and continue an obtaining of him.
Right.
It's not like once we get someplace we've arrived. You know, it's like it's a constant pursuit.
Constant.
Okay, so now let's get even more controversial here. it's the Bible. But it is the Bible that says this. And I used to just read this stuff and I just say, oh, okay, that's nice. And just keep going. Now I read and I go, are you serious? Did you just say what you said, John? And through the Holy Spirit. So it must carry weight, right? So get this. And of his fullness, we have all received. What? Do you know what the word received means? It means you got it. It means it's a done deal. It's not like we're trying to receive his fullness. And who is we all? I mean, is he from the South or something? I mean, we have all. I mean, he's saying everyone has received. So John's not even just saying, this is not for just Christians. This is the reason why we have got to realize that God is more at work in people's lives than we realize. Because even though they don't know it, they have received his fullness. It's craziness. We've all received it. They just haven't come to a place where they realize they've received it. I think that's why Paul said, like, he came and he saved all mankind. Because it's a blanket statement. You can read it. I think it's in one of the Gospels. No, it's not. It's in one of Paul's epistles. But it says all men are saved, basically. Right, Jesse? You can maybe look it up for me so that I can help the doubting Thomases online listening. But we have all received this fullness. So if everybody's received it, we should have received it more. We should be receiving it more right now because we're aware
yes.
that we've received a fullness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, when I was, you know, how old I was, 8, 9 years old, and, you know, my dad left my mom and my sister and myself. And, you know, I was at that state of just like, you know, without a dad and all these things. I had no idea at that moment that I also had his fullness. It just wasn't alive in me. But I'd already received it. I know, isn't that crazy? That's what it says. It says, right? We have all received. And of his fullness, we have all received. Unless he's talking about another all. Yep. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. So my question is that fullness that free will? That we're all given when we're born. Everyone has a desire. Even atheists have a desire to believe in something.
Well, I believe, yeah, and I think that is the, you're on to something there. Because we all are hungry for love.
For something,
yeah. Because love is there waiting for us. See, we're in the kingdom of darkness because darkness is an absence of light. When we come to Christ, he translates us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, which is light. Mm-hmm. And what happens? Where we were, it's not that, this is the whole point that bothers Christians. We expect to be like all of a sudden physically or we change spiritually and all of a sudden we know that we've arrived then. And what we've done is put the cart before the horse because as Christians, we're not to see the results before we know we have the results. We know that for healing, right? When we pray for someone's healing, we're not waiting to see someone's healed before we pray for them,
right?
We pray to see that healing that we know is waiting for them. Is that making sense? So what I'm trying to get us to understand is that we have all of God in us. And so much, not just us, but your next door neighbor does. They just don't know it. Because what happened was when Christ died, he died for all. That's what it says. Christ died for all. Did it not say that? I think it was last week it said, Christ died for all. Mm-hmm. So who is all? Is that just us saved?
No.
So if he died for all, then what did his death do? His death brought his fullness to mankind. See, when the veil was torn, we thought we just have access. No, what happened is flooding out of heaven was grace that was limited, was being held back. I think another song says, like, mercy came running. Well, mercy did, but also grace, a supernatural empowerment to be different than we are.
Right.
See, grace isn't just to get you through when you sin. Grace is to give you the power to not have to make those wrong choices.
Right.
It gives you the power to not just make the right choice. It gives you the power to not even be necessary to choose because you're changing from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I stayed way longer on this. Oh, you have something?
Okay, can I just say something? I wonder if we all lived with that knowledge. I mean, if it was something in the forefront that all have received. I'm wondering how many of our cars would no longer have blue smoke in them. I'm wondering, do you understand what I'm saying? But for the grace of God, there goes I. No, that's God gave his fullness for that person too, just like he gave it for you. I think our whole perspective on humanity would change if we understand the depth of this scripture. We would have grace even for those that, oh dear Jesus, help me. You know what I mean? There's a grace there for those that are, oh, yeah.
Well, grace. I mean, you look at Jesus' whole life. I mean, when he was on earth, he was going to those that everybody else said, well, they're just, you know, they are, forget them. And he would say, no, the fullness is available for them. He didn't see them in just their state they were in. He saw them in his fullness. that he was about to give them on the cross. Mm-hmm. So if you look at this word received, it means to take. In very many applications, literally and figuratively, probably objective or active, to get hold of. So it's the Greek word lambano, and it means to basically to catch something. It means to receive something by taking hold of it, though. It's not like receive something because, you know, it's in your mailbox and I've received it in my mailbox, but you never get it from your mail. The receiving would be getting it out of the mailbox. And so to speak, everybody's mailbox contains Christ's fullness. And at some point in my life, someone pointed me to his fullness. I didn't know that what it was at the time. I just wanted to not go to hell. That's the amount of light that I needed. Can I not go to hell? Do I not have to go to hell? Because once you showed me this plan, you're telling me I'm going to go to hell. And I don't want to go to hell because it looks like a bad thing. And so that was the amount of light that I got. And it was just enough to put a spark in me that I could not put his word down after that. I mean, I've chased after Jesus to not go to hell. And I, like I told many times, I didn't pray a sinner's prayer. I ran after the Savior. I mean, I chased him. In my ideas, that's what I was doing. Oh, okay, I'm not going to go to hell, so I'm going to get more of God. And so reading all of Proverbs, reading John, reading everything I can. And while doing that, salvation continued to come more and more to my house. More and more fullness came. Mm-hmm. That morning that I woke up, I was being choked. I was being choked by an entity of some kind. Happened multiple times over my Christian walk. It was in the morning, early in the morning, and I'd be choked. I'm like, Jesus, finally cry out. Well, one day it just left. Nobody delivered me. I didn't pray any special prayer. The fullness came. That thing couldn't come anymore. A fullness came because I was chasing after salvation. Mm-hmm. And all these years, after being pretty well indoctrinated on what Christianity is and all the methods and modes and of operandi, right? God said, hey, let's go back to the fullness. Pursue me once again. Let's just pretend you didn't learn all this. Because you're not coming to the end of something. You're just beginning.
He wanted you to cut out the middleman.
Wanted me to cut out the middleman. And so that's what I'm receiving again is his fullness. Because what was happening, you go to a university, they've got books. You could read every single book, and you could say when you come out of there, you're fully qualified now. And now because you know everything in every book, let's say you got a photographic memory, you could come to a place where you say, I know it all. And that can happen because knowledge puffs up. So you gain and you gain and you gain and you gain. And yet the whole time what you're doing is you stop chasing. Because we're chasing after something that we can never catch up to. You can't catch God. You can have a relationship with me, in one-on-one intimacy. But you're not going to catch his glory. He's just only going to lead you to greater glory.
Glory to glory.
Yeah?
I was thinking about the ongoing battle that we all fight with anxiety and we fight with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Absolutely. When it comes to the Lord. I was thinking about what Paul said, and he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And I was thinking about, man, that fullness could scare the bejeezlies out of you. When you think about it, when all of a sudden you get just a little glimpse of what's coming next and the fullness that you could have, man, it'll take your breath away. That's why a battle with anxiety and fear is so huge, because, man, if the enemy can start a foothold when you're a child and start building the fullness of God, you're just like, it's like seeing the ocean for the first time. Scared to death. Mm-hmm. The first time our brain opens and God shows us just a little glimpse of what the fullness is, and we're just like, but it's real. It's very real.
Well, and another name for fullness could be love.
Yeah.
Because all of this is love. All of this is God's love. His fullness is the fullness of his love. And, you know, when we receive that love, that'll even cast out the fears and the anxieties. Because it is, you know, sometimes, and again, you have to say, okay, where is this fear coming from? Why am I afraid of the fullness? Well, it's possible you've been told, like, oh, wow, you're going to have some real serious requirements. The closer, you know, it's like, or, you know, you're going to have to pay a heavy, heavy price to get his fullness. Well, why are you going to pay a heavy price to get his fullness? Because his fullness is given. It's already, all mankind has received it. So, you know, this idea has come up through the ranks that you get your, you know, your spiritual ascension based on how much you've been able to do. That's not the way it works. Our ascension comes as a free gift.
Right.
And our ascension is into his love.
What, Lisa, what you said this morning to us, a few of us girls in there, when you said, whatever the enemy tells you, it's opposite of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we can keep that in our brains, when the fire is starting to really, I mean, it's opposite of that. You aren't worthy enough to do that. Well, that's opposite of that because God made you righteous. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. Ready?
I don't have time for that. Jesse sent me like 30 verses, it looks like.
I mean, the last two are more likely.
Okay. Okay. Well, I had no idea. I wouldn't even get through this part today, but that's okay. This has been good. So let's go ahead and we'll get through this received. If you want to take a moment there and look through these last two of Jesse's.
Okay.
So this is the word received used in other places in the Bible in the same way, in the same tense, the same verbiage. It just comes across differently. And it's pretty amazing here. But Simon answered and said to him in Luke 5:5, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing and received nothing. So, you know, you could say that, you know, getting his fullness is like catching a fish. You know, if you don't throw the pole out in the water, guess what? You're not going to catch a fish. I mean, unless somebody throws like a bomb in the water and the fish comes flying out, you know, because of the explosion, you know, but, you know, it's a good kind of fishing, you know, to get a lot of fish real quick, but it's also illegal, right? Dynamite fishing, anybody? I've never done it. I just know it's true. You know, I've seen stories about it. Exactly. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And here, now we have received not the spirit of the world, that's the same word received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have freely, hey, listen to that, have freely, what does freely mean? What do you have to do to get something free?
Take it.
Take it, that's it, right? I mean, do you have to pay anything? Do you have to stand on your head? Do you have to do anything in it? No, it's free. You just have to take it. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And his fullness is one of those things. And here's one more. Romans 5:11. This is good. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. In other words, we've been made friends with God again. But we've received it. It's a done deal. How? Because through our Lord Jesus Christ, of what he did. And what did he do? He died on the cross. He took our place. He didn't just save us from our sins. He made it so we receive his fullness and his reconciliation. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys. This is probably at least another
15,
20. 15. It's
probably 15.
You think 15?
Oh, you guys want to finish it?
You guys want to finish it or
finish.
We'll part to
finish.
It? You want to finish? You guys want to finish?
Let's
okay.
Finish.
You want to finish? Okay, here we go. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. So, I've never done this before. For the law was given through Moses, but grace came through Jesus Christ. No, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I've never done this before, but I'm going to give you the definition of the word for.
F-O-R.
F-O-R. What's it there for, right? Why is that for there? You can see many different translations and it comes across differently. I'm going to give you my take on this, and I believe it even substantiates these previous verses, and it substantiates even the ones that I was sharing today, because it's a mindset that we have to change. I always thought this was grace increasing. I thought this was like from glory to glory, grace for grace. And some translations would say grace upon grace, or grace to the next level of grace. It's not what that word means. And I think when I show you what the Greek word is, we use it in the English all the time. It's the Greek word anti. It's a primary particle. It means opposite. Instead of or because of. For it can also mean in the room of. When Jesus was coming back with his father as a young boy from Egypt, and it said that Herod, who was there, had died, and his son was in the room of. It was a different Herod. It was instead of the old Herod, his son had taken his place. So let's take a look at these contexts, the way that it's been used in other places, and I think you'll get an idea. Oh, wait a second. I got this. Oh, yeah, I got that. Did I not flip that before, or did I flip that back? You guys saw that, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay, there you go. Sorry. Anti.
At the very top.
Opposite.
A-N-T-I.
Instead
yeah.
of, because of. I got to make sure I'm going off of that one as well.
Okay,
so now we're going to look at how the word was used a couple of times. So in Matthew 5:38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, an eye for another eye. You're going to give an eye, or you had an eye taken. Now, because of that, for that reason, that's what we could say, you're now going to take someone else's eye, an eye for an eye. Instead of your eye, someone else's eye, or a tooth for a tooth. A tooth over here, now we're going to take someone else's tooth. Instead of that person, we're going to take another one. Okay, here's another one. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for, that's that word again, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So he endured the cross because he saw a joy set before him. So in this place, it's being used as because. But it really, at the core, means opposite. Okay, is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go ahead with that in mind. Let's read a little bit further down in this verse. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So notice that for there. That's a different for. Right there, I don't see the four right after grace for grace? That's a different word for. It's not the same word for. That's the thing about Greek. It uses a lot of different words. Because we say, oh, well, in this application, it means that. Well, they just use different words so they didn't get confused, which I really like. That word right there means therefore. So because we've received his fullness and grace for grace, he's saying the law was given for Moses. This is why. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I can see you guys aren't following me yet. Oh, you're following
well,
me.
Well, because so in other words, we could read it like this. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. Therefore, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Exactly. So now
does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to use this word. Eh, it didn't take very long. You're right. I'm going to use this word. Is this it or is that the same thing?
It's the same thing.
Oh, I haven't switched yet. Switched there, didn't switch there. So now I'm going to use this word putting this whole verse together from the grace for grace part and try to communicate what I believe he's trying to say here. What he's trying to say here is under the law of Moses, there was a grace. There was a grace. We don't think of it as grace because it included the law, included do's and don'ts, included you, if you don't do this, then the result is this. Mm-hmm. You know, that function and dysfunction idea. So what we have here is that Jesus brought a new grace Instead of Moses' grace, we now have his grace, which his grace is of his fullness. His grace is a never-ending grace. And his grace does not require me to do anything other than believe. And I'm of the opinion that I even believe because of him. Like Paul said, I can't take any credit, guys. I can't take nothing. Mm-hmm. Even the belief, I have to say, is because of the grace of God. So grace, the law given through Moses, was for grace, Grace, the law given through Moses, instead of the grace and truth that came through Christ, or the grace and truth coming through Christ, or in exchange for it. It could mean exchange. So in other words, this grace that we once had before the cross is no longer the grace that we need to be in anymore. We're now in a new grace. And when I saw this, I go, oh my goodness, this is again the difference between living in the flesh in our old nature under the old law, that previous grace, and living as a crucified individual, dead but alive in God. Because the life is his fullness. The life is emanating from the energy of God in me, not from what I do to live.
Mm-hmm. Well, another way you could say that too is that, hold on, the thought was there. It's not anymore. You were just existing over there.
Right.
Here, it's not just existing. Here, because we're loving him and we're taking on his fullness, we don't just exist. There's something that comes out of that. Service will, not service, but just anything will automatically come out of you receiving the fullness of God.
Well, and it puts a new whole understanding when Jesus says, I came, you know, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have a life, and you might have a life that is abundant, an overflowing, abundant life. Not just an existing life, but an overflowing, abundant life, because it's seated in fullness. That's why it's overflowing. It's not because you've gotten more of God than me, and so you've got that abundant life, or that you figured it out, and now you have qualified for that abundant life. It's just that we finally bring in that fish, and we can say, yes, I received the fullness by believing the fullness. Yes. Well, that was one, but I mean, you could say every aspect of the law, there was a grace over that. Just as there was a grace over Abraham's life, there was a grace over Adam after Adam and Eve fell. There was a grace for Noah and his family. Those were dispensations or timelines of grace. But now we have a timeline that is an unending grace. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be another dispensation of grace, because this grace brought the fullness for everyone. You weren't here, Zeke, but it said all have received. Now, to me, what does all to you mean? Everyone. So everyone's received the fullness of God? Does it look like that? Would you say before you knew God that you had his fullness? The Bible says you did. There you go. It's the realization. It's that light. That's why 1 John says, walk in the light as he's in the light. You have fellowship with one another, and that blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sins. It's because it's operating out of revelation and light. Tim? Oh, hi. I thought Tim had like... Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I want to read this story, and it hit me so hard about grace, and it's such a great analogy of what we've been talking about today. The boy stands defiantly with his head cocked back and hands clenched. Go ahead, give it to me. I can take it. The principal looks down at the young rebel. How many times have you been here?
The child sneers rebelliously, apparently not enough. The principal gives the boy a strange look and says, "You've been punished each time, have you not?" "Yeah, I've been punished, if that's what you want to call it," he throws his small chest out and says. "Go ahead, I can take whatever you can dish out. I always have." Carefully studying the boy's face, the principal says, "Are there any thoughts of punishment when you break these rules?" He says, "Nope, I do whatever I want. Ain't nothing you people gonna do to stop me either." The principal looks over at the teacher who is sitting nearby and asks, "What did he do this time?" "Fighting. He took little Tommy and shoved his face in the sandbox." The principal turns to the boy and says, "Why? What did little Tommy do to you?" "Nothing. I didn't like the way he looked at me. Just like I don't like the way you're looking at me now. In fact, if I thought I could do it, I'd shove your face into something."
Ooh.
The teacher stiffens and starts to rise, but a quick look from the principal stops him. He contemplates the child for a moment and then quietly says, "Today, my young student, is the day you will learn about grace." "Grace? Isn't that what you old people do before you eat a meal? I don't need any of your stinking grace." This is so good, you guys. Get ready. Hold on. Sorry. "Oh, but you do," says the principal. After studying the boy's face, he whispers, "Oh, yes, you truly need grace." The boy glared at the principal as the principal continued, "Grace is in short definition and merited favor. You can't earn grace, my child. Grace is a gift, and it's always freely given. Grace means you will not be getting what you so richly deserve." The boy looks puzzled. "You're not going to whoop me? You're just going to let me walk?" The principal looks down at the unyielding child and says, "Yes, I'm going to let you just walk." The boy studies the face of the principal and says, "No punishment at all? Like, you're not going to punish me even though I socked Tommy and shoved his face in the sandbox? Oh, there has to be a punishment. What you did was wrong, and there will always be consequences for our actions. There will be punishment. Grace is not an excuse for doing the wrong thing." "I knew it," sneers the boy, holding out his hands, and he says, "Let's get on with it." The principal nods toward the teacher and says, "Bring me the belt." The teacher presents the belt to the principal. He carefully folds it in two, hands it back to the teacher. He looks at the child and says, "I want you to count the blows." The principal slides out from behind his desk and walks over to the child. The child stands defiantly with his hands outstretched. The principal gently moves the child's expectant hands down to his sides. Turning to the teacher, the principal stretches out his own hands and quietly says, "Begin." The belt slaps against the principal's outstretched hands. Crack. The young boy jumps. Shock registers across his face. "One," he whispers. Crack. "Two." His voice raises an octave. Crack. "Three." He's unable to believe this. Crack. "Four." Big tears well up in the eyes of the young rebel. "Okay, stop. That's enough. Stop." Crack. The belt continues to come down on the principal's swollen hands. Crack. The child flinches with each blow. Tears start streaming down the child's face. Crack. Crack. "No, please," the former rebel begs. "Stop. I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who deserves the punishment. Stop. Please stop," the boy sobs. Still, the blows come. Crack. Crack. Finally, it's over. The principal, with sweat glistening across his forehead, turns to the former rebel and kneels down. Carefully cradling the child's face with his swollen, bleeding hands, the principal softly says, "This, my boy, is grace." The story is an excellent example of God's grace, unmerited favor. Just as the boy received the opposite of what he deserved, we too can receive the opposite of what we deserve.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I'm just going to end with that. That's powerful. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we pray that the words that have been spoken here, the communications, God, that have come out of everybody's mouth today, Lord, that it would go and produce fruit in our lives. Lord, that we wouldn't just be knowledgeable, Lord, but that we would be ones, Lord, that are changed and transformed into your image through your power, through your fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that got me.